Fork. Fork. Fork.
Linoleum Knife and Fork,
a podcast of the food.
And when, what day will this one be happening?
This one is going to go up on Tuesday, so
tomorrow
from when we're taping this.
It's Monday, the 26th right now, but it'll be going up on Tuesday.
So if some major Tuesday food news happens in on the next 26th, 24 hours, and you wonder why we're not talking about it,
that's why.
That's, yes. Welcome to the Summer Super Splash Spectacular, our annual event in which we take the
I've
shows.
I never learned to live with that name, but...
Well... You mucked up my name,
listen,
and
next
so
year we may have to ditch.
Call it something else entirely.
And come up with something new.
That we both like.
That we
fair
both
enough.
Like. Yeah.
Anyway, this is the time
we're
of year.
We're in a big fight.
Where
it's been going on for years.
It
now.
Is. It's true. Where we present shows that are normally available only to our Patreon subscribers, but we make them available to everybody because I, Alonzo Duralde, am going to be in Venice for the next week for the film festival, so we're not taping anything for a while. And B, so you
I,
can.
I, Dave White, will not.
Correct. I was getting to you. B, we give you a sweet, sweet taste of that that Patreon action.
Sweet,
maybe
the sweetest
maybe
taste.
You'll want to like become a
the
Patreon member.
Taste.
I don't know. The umame.
The pepperiest taste.
Is it umame or umami?
I've always thought it was umami.
Me too. But
who said umame
in the
to you?
In the movie Blind Spotting, somebody uses the word umame, and I thought
you
it was hilarious.
Sure?
They did, but well, maybe it was a joke.
It might have been a joke.
Could be.
Because I've never heard anyone say that.
Umami it is. Anyway, yeah. These are the flavors that you'll be getting from LKTV. And this one, Linoleum Knife and Fork, and Linoleum Knights, all going up this week.
We are the Linoleum Knife people.
Yes.
And all these other podcasts are...
our side gigs.
Our other tentacles.
Yes. Part of our family of programs.
So when you leave... today.
Yes.
The first order of business will be for me to eat what is left in the crock pot.
Okay.
But that's not all.
Is this about getting rid of leftovers or is this about planning meals that you can enjoy in my absence?
A little bit of both.
Okay.
I have a weird habit. I have a lot of... a lot of weird habits.
Don't undersell yourself.
I have several. When you leave town, if it's for more than my usual favorite amount of time, 3 days.
Right.
If it's like a week, like you'll be gone to Italy for 8 days.
Yes.
There's this weird thing I do with the kitchen. First of all, I like to clean it from top to bottom. Nothing gives me more pleasure.
Yes.
And it needs it, because right now the place is a disaster. We've been cooking all weekend and not...
not cleaning as we go.
Not cleaning as we go. But I like to get in the cupboards, the pantry, the fridge, figure out what's there, and use it up. I do this every once in a while.
You play Iron Chef with yourself.
Kinda. Often I am doing this during the week. If we have a little leftover this and a little leftover that.
And some lentils.
I'll make a dinner out of whatever it is.
Yeah.
I don't go crazy with invention.
No.
I like to make sure things feel right together.
Google is employed.
Often. But while you're gone, those rules don't really apply. I like to see how depleted I can make the cupboard.
Our stores.
And the fridge before I absolutely have to go to the grocery store.
If it makes you happy.
It's just this game that I play with myself.
Uh-huh.
And part of it is frugality.
Yes.
Part of it is, you know, I put a credit card in your hand and some cash in your hand and say, live on this budget while you're in Europe for 8 days.
Right.
And then I look at my own self and I think, how can I spend $0 while he's gone? Like, how little money can I spend? What would it take? What's the bare minimum of what I can spend? Like, it just becomes like a challenge.
Is this what your life would be like if you were single?
Well, before I met you, in my first couple of years of being out on my own and teaching school for a living in Texas.
Yes.
That was how I had to live sometimes, well, because sure, teachers make less money than film critics.
Yes.
How about that?
No.
Think about that terror.
I know, the horror.
Yeah. Or rather, new teachers certainly make
less money. Yes, no. Look, I have gone through periods of my life where I lived on the peanut butter and jelly sandwiches made from stuff that I could buy in the mini mart at the gas station.
Correct. Yeah. So, now, what's great about, you know, being me.
So many things.
Is that our pantry has a lot of unusual things in it as...
I was going to say.
Pantry ingredients.
You get to use gochujang or whatever in your little Hunger Games.
But I do like to see what I can...
fuse.
What can I make go away?
Okay.
You know, what can I eat before that it sits on the shelf too long or is in the fridge too long? The refrigerator is first because that's all the perishable stuff. So, obviously, the crock pot dinner that we made Saturday night, which we had the leftovers of yesterday, we'll finish it off today.
Gotcha. Yeah.
Which is nothing special. Chicken and noodles. It's really
so good,
tasty, but
so good, but, and no Campbell's soup.
No, yeah, Margie would be happy.
Yes,
Margie Rockland, frequent collaborator on this show. For those of you who've never listened to this show before,
the spoon of linoleum knife.
Correct. She'd be very happy that there were no canned soups.
Yes.
In the thing. But yeah, nothing special. Like, honestly, chicken and noodles and
cheese and egg noodles are such a sometimes treat, yeah. But oh man,
egg noodles are really wonderful.
Like you,
I can eat a bowl of egg noodles for breakfast.
Like, yes, yeah, exactly. Yeah. Like I could have a bowl of egg noodles with like butter and salt, like once a week at least, if left to my own devices.
Well, that is what ended up happening because you were intended to. Be the cook for the past couple weeks. Give yourself a grade. How do you feel you did? Self-assess.
Like a B minus. And that, maybe that's general. Maybe a C plus.
I would give you a solid B.
Okay, thank
I
you.
I would.
Because I feel like...
You're too hard on yourself.
I feel like you had to constantly remind me about stuff, and you had to like
each
send...
Each day.
You would send me recipes, and it ultimately boiled down to, I went to the grocery store for you, and then you did the things.
That's not true.
I didn't do anything for that chicken and noodle dish. I bought it, and then you did everything.
You were very busy that day getting yourself together for Italy.
I understand that.
You took the reins because you were very busy.
I'm not saying I didn't have reasons to be crappy at this, but I'm saying I was kind of crappy at this.
I think what kept you back... See, here was the plan for those of you, again, who have never listened to this show before. The plan was Alonzo was going to be the cook in August.
Yeah.
I am normally the cook in the home.
Yes.
There are reasons for this. I like being in the kitchen.
Yes.
Cooking things.
You're good at it.
And baking things. I'm reasonably competent.
You're far better at it than I am.
Also, when two freelancers are married and live in the same home, one of them is usually more employed outside in the world than the other one at any given moment.
Yes.
For a while now, that has been you.
Yes.
You are the person that gets asked to go do things. You're the person that gets asked to go to the Venice Film Festival. You're the person that gets asked to be on the CNN special. You're the person that gets asked to go do whatever somewhere.
Right. I host a podcast outside this home.
You host two podcasts.
Well, one of them comes here.
They come here, but you know what I mean.
Yes.
You're more out in the world of career than I am.
Yes.
I'm home. I'm making sure things get done.
Yes, you are running the Patreon.
I am doing that, yeah. And I'm half good at it.
Patreon.com/LinoleumLife.
I feel no competitive stuff with you at all, even though we do the same thing for a living.
Yeah, no, we're a team.
You like being on camera, and you're good at it. I run from cameras, don't want it. The being the invisible hand in the back suits me fine. Makes me happy. But August was a month where I was really digging into getting a lot of Patreon work accomplished, getting things out to people. The list is long, but I'm in it. I'm in the middle of it right now. And people have been very nice responding to my questions on Patreon. What do you want? What size of it? If it's a t-shirt or whatever, make sure I have your correct address. All that stuff. Everyone's been really cool. And I said to you, in order for me to accomplish this, you're going to have to be the cook. And you said, yes, sure. And then every day after that was a struggle.
Well, I think you might be exaggerating my level of enthusiasm to this response, but I did agree to do it. And then it was, but then I would kind of forget about it. And you would say, so what are you making for dinner tonight? And I would just be like,
Each morning after you had your cup of coffee, like yes. An hour into the day,
yes.
After you've had your coffee, I would say, so what's for dinner tonight? You must begin thinking about that. You must make a plan. Perhaps you must go to the supermarket. What's for dinner tonight? Do you have any ideas? And you'd look at me like, again? It has to happen again? Like, there were some days when the face was like, you do this every day? And the answer is yes, I do this every day. I wake up, I think, what are we doing? Or if I'm really organized on Sunday morning, I wake up and think, what's my week going to be? What are we making? What am I making for dinner all week long? What nights are you out of the house at a screening? Or what nights are we both out of the house at a screening? Mm-hmm. What night are you down at the Maximum Fun Studio recording Who Shot You? What's the plan? ¿Qué son los planes? A Duralde family joke that is not a joke.
I think my dad used to say all the time, and drove all of his children up the wall, but several of his in-laws are very much of the same page of, no, what are the plans?
What are the plans for dinner? Yeah. People don't think about, I think this is one reason why people get overwhelmed and burdened about the idea of cooking at home for themselves instead of just ordering Postmates to bring it whatever right. to you.
There's planning involved.
You got to plan. You got to look up recipes. You got to look up recipes that you can do. You got to look up recipes that are easy for you on a Tuesday night.
Well, I think here's part of the problem.
Yeah.
If this were happening in, say, February, there's a lot of stuff that I feel comfortable making that involves the oven.
The oven, correct. And this is not oven season.
It is not oven season. Right. We were limited to the slow cooker, and I discovered very quickly that the slow cooker is a misnomer.
it's a very powerful and new slow cooker.
It is a slightly less fast cooker.
Yeah.
But it is not. I think of a slow cooker as being the old school 1970s crock pot where it gets to, it never goes above like 275 degrees, right. But it just does it all day.
Yeah.
You know, the kind of like Paul Lind kind of slow cooker recipes that he was famous for.
Right.
Ours does not do that. So if you want to make like a pork roast that's going to pull apart and shred, that's not happening.
Yeah, well, it can happen as long as you are very, very attuned to checking.
But what happens when you check it? You flip it? What magically makes it not just cook all the way through?
When it gets cooked, you stop it.
Yeah, but that's the thing.
You don't leave it in for too long.
Okay.
All right.
That's not the point,
though. You ignore the recipe time.
That's not the point.
What is the point?
The point is you have to literally slow cook pork to make it shred that way.
Yes, yes.
And our slow cooker does not do that at all. Well, the best you can do is pull it out before it overcooks.
Yes, that's what I mean.
Right, but that's not the same thing.
I understand. I understand. You are right.
So anyway, so faced with this slow cooker that is not slow, and faced with not being able to use the oven, I often found myself like, like, again, if this were February, I'd have made you baked ziti. I'd have done, like, some chicken thighs with, you know, sweet potato and purple onion or whatever. Mm-hmm, like, mm-hmm. I have a mini repertoire of oven things, but slow cooker, I got nothing.
You're like the helping hand hamburger helper glove. You have exactly five things.
There you go.
In your head.
You know, I could have made chili, but then I didn't really want to eat chili in August, you know, so...
Oh, I took all the vegan sloppy joe beans out of the freezer.
Uh-huh.
And I'm going to make, like, a couple soups this week.
Oh, nice.
Just for myself, with stuff that you don't like in it.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
Knock yourself out.
One thing I am going to do that is not related to the pantry at all is I'm going to go get a bunch of tomatoes. And I'm going to make, like, a tomato tart or galette, and I'm going to put it in the damn oven. I don't care. I'll sweat. I'll go sit in the bedroom with the AC on.
You're not going to just caprese it at all?
Yeah, I'm not. No. I'm doing, oh, this is going to be good for me, myself, and I.
Are you going to make a nice, cool tomato aspic?
Who knows what I'll do? I will not be doing that.
We were watching, if you listen to our LKTV episode that went that dropped yesterday, we watched an old episode of He and She on YouTube, only because it's never been released on home video. Otherwise, I'm a big believer in, you know, honoring the copyright and all that stuff. But anyway, one of the episodes that is posted, it's not in color, but it does have all of the original commercials from when it first aired. And one of them was this, what's your Jell-O-scope?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And it reminded me, one of my summer pleasure goals that I haven't done yet is to make... Jell-O. So when I come back from Venice, it will still be hot, and I will make Jell-O.
The good news is that Los Angeles summer lasts until the beginning or even the middle of October.
Yes.
Yeah. So...
there's time.
We have a whole other... the calendar says summer is over.
Yeah.
As of this coming week.
And depending on where you live, it might well be.
But...
not for us.
Los Angeles summer extends at least through September.
Yeah.
In fact, September is often... the cruelest month of the year.
Yes, yes. No, I'd say at least like we...
our hottest days take place during September.
Given how...
our nastiest Santa Ana hot winds take place.
Yes, totally.
In September.
We've already got fires happening.
Already, really?
Yes.
Oh.
Given how mild July and August have been, I wouldn't be surprised if November was still hot. Who knows?
Don't talk to me about these things.
Okay.
I don't like it.
Fair enough.
That's not what I want to know. October, November will be cooler temperature-wise as they are supposed to be.
Let's go with facts.
Nobody bring me no bad news about November. Thanksgiving needs to happen.
So there was a food thing that...
or else we're just going to go out and get Chinese food.
Yeah, I guess so. There was a food thing that was very popular on Twitter this week. But in a way of, what the heck is this?
Some kind of deep-fried barbecue chicken deep-dish quesadilla pepperoni pizza thing. I'm now going to explain it to you. Here we go. Starting the video. Ground cumin. Ground cumin, mustard powder, oil, brown sugar, chili powder, salt, pepper. Mix it up. Put a bunch of chicken breasts in that liquid.
Yes.
Coat it. Put it on a pan, marinate it. Let that bake for an hour. Take it out, shred the chicken, put the chicken in a bowl, add bacon, spring onions, red onions, barbecue sauce. Mix it all up with your little spatula until it is barbecue-y. Then you take a big deep dish pan of like a springform pan, put a tortilla at the bottom. Put shredded cheese on top of the tortilla. Put the mixed up chicken barbecue stuff on top of all of that. Put more cheese on top of the mixture. Put another tortilla on top of that. Then put a big bucket pan on top of it and then chill that for an hour. Meanwhile, sour cream, onion powder, chives, parsley, mayonnaise, garlic powder, lemon juice, dill, chopped. Mix that into a bowl.
Is that just ranch dressing?
Add some salt to taste. Probably something like that. Then you take the thing out of the chill Cut it up into 6 pieces. I'm watching the cut take place right now. I'm watching the video. I'm giving you a play-by-play of this video. It comes out in a little pie. You roll it in plain flour, each piece in plain flour. Then an eggs mixture. And then breadcrumbs. You coat it with breadcrumbs. Then you deep fry it. We're deep frying. We take it out of the deep frying pan. It's all crispy, brown. It's a triangle brick. You put it back into a circle shape with the other 5 triangle bricks. You cover them with pizza sauce. Then you put some mozzarella cheese on top of that. And then some pepperonis on top of that. And then you grill it for 5 to 10 minutes until all that's melty and crispy on top. Then you dunk it in the mix of the ranch stuff.
Yeah.
And then you put it on a plate and you begin to try to eat it. I cannot imagine why in the mother F anyone would
go through that many steps.
Go through this trouble. First of all, this is a combination of barbecue chicken and pizza.
Yes. Which exists.
Which, sure, it exists. But you could just get a pizza with barbecue chicken.
Yeah, CPK has done a barbecue chicken with red onion pizza forever.
The amount of labor that goes into making something like this, that is nothing more than, like, large Super Bowl food, baffles me.
Yeah.
Like, now, I'm the man that a couple Easters ago made a cassoulet.
Mm.
Takes days.
Yeah, that's some steps.
Takes days. It's some steps. But you know what you get when you're done with all those steps?
Cassoulet.
Cassoulet. And do you know what's beautiful?
Cassoulet.
This is heart attack material. And looks like it might not even taste that good when you get it all done.
Well, somebody took it upon himself to make the thing.
Yeah.
And it took him, like, the better part of an entire day. He spent $80 at the grocery store getting all the things involved
for 6 pieces.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
And then it's this epic Twitter thread, and by the time you get to the end of it, and it comes out of the oven, and he cuts into it, and he dunks it into the ranch dipping sauce, and he puts it in his mouth, and then he immediately, like, grabs a bunch of paper towels to spit it out, because apparently
it's really awful.
Yes.
Okay. See, I don't understand.
And who knows? Maybe that was the bit. Maybe he was always planning to be like, yes, I did all this, and it's inedible. But he did do all the steps, and it was bananas.
I don't approve of the internet's tendency toward this sort of novelty food.
Yeah, like where you make the lattice of bacon and then make it turn to the bun of a cheeseburger or whatever. Yeah.
I say this as the person who taste tested Soviet blood candy on this very podcast.
Which we did for you.
But I didn't have to make it.
Right.
I just had to locate it on the internet, purchase it, and then dare to eat it. Wasn't bad, by the way.
No. It was like a slightly stale Tootsie Roll.
Weird, caramely, gritty Tootsie Roll. Yeah.
Oh, yeah, it was gritty.
Yeah. But, like, okay, so for example, here's a good example. The Lucky Charms pie.
Oh, right,
yeah. You have to melt down all the different colors. You have to separate all the marshmallows out by color and melt them down.
Yeah.
And then layer them and chill them. And a friend of ours did it.
Yes.
A friend of ours did it and brought it over for dessert for Sunday dinner. And I took 3 bites, and it was so
sweet.
So packed with sugar that I couldn't handle more than a couple bites.
Yeah.
It was kind of tasty. It tasted like Lucky Charms became a pie. I love a bowl of Lucky Charms.
And you have made a beautiful Cinnamon Toast Crunch cake.
I did, but that was a cinnamon cake.
Yes.
That was essentially a cinnamon spice cake.
Right.
With some cinnamon spice frosting and the breakfast cereal scattered on top.
Yeah.
No, that's fine. That's not extravagant. Yeah. That's just a full variety of cake. But the Like, there's parallel tracks of cooking. You know, there's the kind my mom did when I was a kid, which was open this can of green beans, dump it into a saucepan, open this box of mashed potatoes,
that add water,
dehydrated in an instant, add water or milk or whatever, and whip it into a frothy floof. Grill some hamburger patties. Kids, it's dinner time. That was my mother's skill level. Everything tasted like cigarettes. We were happy. We didn't know any better. We thought all food tasted like cigarettes. We know better now, but, yes. You know, lots of folks still cook that way. You know, I got out on my own. I learned how to do things for myself and how to cook a recipe and stuff like that. I'm by no means advanced. But the whole, and I do love an internet help me make a thing video.
Sure.
I do especially enjoy the ones that the camera is headed straight down to the
right,
bowl.
Right.
I just, they're comforting to me.
Yeah, I think most of these are designed to be watched more than they're designed to be emulated.
But I want to go make a thing if it looks delicious.
Sure.
So, but then I see something like this and I go, what do you,
you know.
First of all, who spent time doing this, inventing this?
Did you see the picture of the mac and cheese with the Flamin' Hot Dorito crust that was made in a Bundt pan?
Yes. Never.
Yeah.
That will never happen.
Knock it off, internet.
That will never happen.
We have not had a chance to have the Impossible Whopper yet.
Hang on.
Oh, sorry.
We're still on the subject of terrible recipes.
Oh, sorry. Okay. We'll come back to that.
Slow your roll.
Put a pin in the Whopper.
Elizabeth. Listener, Elizabeth. Tea companion.
Yes.
Elizabeth. Chaperone of Milky Joe, the best cat in the world. Elizabeth. She sent me a recipe for something called... It's not even a recipe. It's from that 70s dinner party Twitter account. This thing is called the Pickle Butterfly.
Explain.
Well, you get a pickle, see? Mm-hmm. That's the body of the butterfly. And then you get two big potato chips. Now, in order to make this happen, these have to be sturdy, like Ruffles potato chips. Uh-huh. Or those kettle ones, which are really thick and sturdy.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah. You got to cut slits in the sides of the pickle. And these need to be big potato chips. They need to be the hero chips
right.
of the bag. The big, round solids, right? Those are your butterfly wings. You insert the pickles. You insert the chips into the pickle.
Why?
Hang on. There's more.
Oh.
Then you decorate it with cream cheese.
Oh, of course you do. In a piping sleeve.
And that is your pickle butterfly.
Oh, gosh.
Mmm. Yum.
Those 70s recipes are terrifying.
Oh, don't just blame the 70s. Blame the 60s and the 50s.
True, yes. Well. Those were also awful.
It got real crazy in the 50s and stayed that way.
Yes. But like once you start getting to those Weight Watchers cards where you're sitting around drinking like beef bouillon out of coffee cups or whatever.
Right.
Bleh.
That's basically just Marmite in a cup.
I suppose.
Or rather, Marmite is just beef bouillon in a
spread.
But it's not beef. We've discussed Marmite so many times, yes, I'm not going to go back
into
it again.
We're not getting into that.
Although it's... I've developed a taste for it.
Oh, you haven't put it on spaghetti in a while. That was actually pretty good.
That was a Nigella Lawson joint.
I know.
Marmite on spaghetti. She says her kids love it. We tried it. We did not hate it.
No.
It was all right.
Yeah.
Okay. Talk about the Impossible Whopper. We haven't done it yet.
Yes. But
there are not a lot of Burger Kings near us.
Right. Well, there's one, but
on Sunset.
Yeah,
Sunset. That I never knew was there.
Yeah. So basically, you know, we've been talking about this, that more and more, you know, companies are trying to steer towards healthier options or at least meat-free options, and that includes the fast food folks.
It's a roll right now. Everybody is scrambling to launch their non-meat thing. So, all the fast food places are getting in on this action.
Yeah, Burger King has been something of an early adopter. They've test marketed the Impossible Whopper, and now it's everywhere? Is that the deal?
It's here in Los Angeles. I don't know.
I mean, it's in South Carolina because the Deck the Hallmark guys posted a video of them eating one.
And they hated it.
They were not fans, but they also weren't fans of, like, Burger King with meat either, so.
Oh, I see.
And then I just found out, and this maybe has been brewing for a while, that KFC is going to be doing Beyond Nuggets. And we bought Beyond Patties at the grocery store this week.
And you made what again with it?
You made burgers.
Oh, that's right. I made them, didn't I?
Yeah.
Yeah, we just had Beyond Burgers. But we've done that before, and we've talked about it on this show.
I don't know that we've...
Yes.
Well...
Yes.
Okay. Because this seemed like something I hadn't had before. Because
you forgot.
What I finally realized that it was exactly like was Underwood Deviled Ham.
A little bit.
Same smell, the same kind of pinky consistency.
It doesn't exactly smell like Underwood Deviled Ham before it's cooked. It smells more like cat food before it's cooked.
Which Underwood Deviled Ham also kind of does. But no, you grilled them up and, you know, slapped them on a bun with some arugula and, you know...
crispy onions
and condiments, and it was like it was very much in the burger family.
In the burger family,
yeah. Like there was a moistness to it; it didn't feel like it was just some, you know, clump o' soy.
Because it was a little odd.
Yes,
the burger
family. In the burger family.
Beyond is going to KFC. Did you say that?
Yes.
Okay.
For
nuggets. How's
that
going to be? I don't know what that's going to be like.
I don't know if Beyond comes in flavors. I don't know.
Are they going to insert real bones into it?
No, it's going to be nuggets.
Oh.
Yeah, they're going to...
Hey, kids. Vegan, but with actual animal bones.
They'll be plastic bones, so you can collect them and build dinosaurs out of them.
So, Eddie Wong went vegan.
Yes. Why don't you tell new listeners who Eddie Wong is?
Eddie Wong runs a restaurant in New York called Bauhaus. Mm-hmm. Get it? Bao.
B-A-O. Bauhaus. Yes.
Yeah. He also wrote the memoir Fresh Off the Boat.
Aha, uh-huh, yes,
that
correct.
Became the ABC sitcom.
Indeed.
Yeah. And
he's popped up on... Did he have the show on Netflix or was he on somebody else's?
I forget.
He's not the Ugly Delicious guy.
No, that's David Chang.
That's David Chang, yeah.
Yes. But he had a show on Viceland called Wong's World.
Right.
Yeah. That's who you're thinking of.
Yes.
This is the person we're talking about.
Yes. Okay. They went to that insanely expensive sustainable butcher shop in downtown Los Angeles.
Right. He's gone vegan.
So no more sustainable butcher shops for him.
He has done so as a response to the Amazon being on fire.
I have to say, the Amazon being on fire has been the best argument to stop eating beef that I've encountered yet.
Yeah. Because this isn't an accident. Their government...
Set the fire.
The Brazilian government is being run by... a madman currently who's worse than Trump.
Yes. Much like us, they have a genuine fascist.
And, you know, the deforestation industry and who that benefits.
Yes.
Fast food chains. They stand to make money from this thing that's happening that will also destroy the forest that provides 20% of the oxygen to the earth.
Yes.
So...
imminently, and cannot be replaced.
Yeah, imminently we're all going to die.
Yes.
This
is also a way for Brazil to stick it to the indigenous people who won via the courts the rights to the land.
Yeah. So, he has gone vegan. And I'm talking about this because it also became very personal when you sent me the article. I woke up that morning and there it was, because I go to bed much earlier than you do.
Yes.
I wake up much earlier than you do. We communicate.
In the night.
You send me links to things after I go to bed. I wake up to a pre-breakfast treat of links to things that I'm supposed to look at and read and respond to. But this one was special because it came on the tail of talking so much about the Impossible Burger and bringing home the Beyond Meat and me already spending the past few years of my life pushing more and more vegetarian and vegan recipes on you. For the record, for those of you who have never listened to us before, we are omnivorous. We eat everything. But increasingly, we have drastically reduced our beef consumption.
Yes.
And we are slowly reducing our consumption of other meat in the home for cooking nightly meals.
Yeah.
We are not vegetarians yet, although I see that somehow as a possible future. It's unlikely that we will become full vegans until the day comes when fake cheese and dairy and butter, is in a better place.
I haven't
because
even
right
found
now it's not in a place that I like it.
I haven't even found an almond or oat milk that I like on my cereal. So.
Milks, yeah, almond milk, soy milk, oat milk, rice milk, the milk made from peas. Is good. Like I'm down for all of
them. You like that stuff. I don't. I have yet to find one that. There's something about whole milk that I just find really satisfying in a way that these fakes can't do it for me. But I like an Impossible Burger.
The
so,
fake butter is not terrible.
Well, it's margarine, basically, right?
Well, there's margarine, and then there's like vegan. Based sort of margarines.
Oh, I can't believe it's not butter, not vegan. I thought it was like purely oil based.
It might be, but it's gross. Like some of them are better than others. Is really
sure.
What I'm trying to say.
Yes,
in terms of what the ingredients are and how they taste and how they act.
Look, if I were forced to go back to country crock, it wouldn't be the end of the world. But you know, it's obviously not as good as actual butter.
Yeah. But vegan cheese is a joke.
A horror show.
Unless you're willing to spend a lot of money. We have a vegan cheese shop in our neighborhood, and it's delicious.
But they still don't know how to make it melt.
But it's expensive, and it still doesn't melt.
Yeah.
Right. Anyway, you sent me this article.
Yes.
And I said, oh, what is he trying to tell me? You know. Because you it was 2 more hours before you were ready to be out of bed. I wake up at like 5. You're up at 7:30.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought, I win. I've won. I've won the battle. I've won the battle. He wants to start eating more vegetarian and vegan things. He's telling me in his sleep right now. That this is what he wants. And I was so happy.
Had you not had enough tea yet?
So excited.
For your brain to wake up?
I was so ready to begin this beautiful journey
with you.
Who
did you think you were married to?
Meatlessness. Because I want to be a responsible citizen of the globe. And I want to, in my own teeny tiny, teeny little inconsequential way, I want to be part of the movement of people who are leaving meat. Or at least drastically reducing their consumption, because it is unsustainable, and we're all going to die, and the planet will stay here, but we'll all die.
Yes, but part of me feels like we're all being played for suckers. You know,
I understand the corporate polluters are the worst criminals of them all.
Yes, like what?
But we enable them.
What our recycling does in the face of BP destroying the Gulf of Mexico?
Our tiny little actions, we enable them. So, I'm all excited. I'm so excited. I'm like, oh, this is like, Alonzo has given me his blessing to go do anything I want with no meat for days and days and days on end. He's willing to eat it like once a week, maybe, any kind of meat.
Oh, man.
I get up, I say to you, oh, I'm so happy you sent me that article. I can't wait to just, we're going to do this, we're going to do this. And you're like, hold on.
I sent you that article because we do a food podcast.
It was like I was holding a beautiful balloon on my happiest childhood day. And you popped it and you went, ha!
A balloon that you invented out of whole cloth. Because, yeah, none of that was implied in any way. I sent you that article because we do a podcast about food and because I knew it would be interesting for us to talk about. And you just went off on some crazy tangent about some other person who is clearly not me.
This is a secret message.
Who is not the person.
The love of my life is sending me a secret message.
You are.
In his sleep.
24 years later, have decided that I am someone else entirely. I mean, yes, I am concerned about the destruction of the Amazon. I understand that, like, the meat industry is a hot mess. And I have been down with you on the idea of let's eat less meat and spend more on it when we do buy it because we can get it from places that are more sustainable, da da da.
Right.
I'm down for all of that. But it is a rough transition for me. And I did not have an overnight, you know, road of Tarsus moment or road to Damascus moment when it comes to my plant-based diet or lack thereof. So you're insane.
I just think of myself as hopeful and optimistic.
Sorry to disappoint your ludicrous aspirations for my dietary needs.
What happens on the day when there just isn't the ability to have meat anymore? Like, we're moving into this dystopian future.
Right. Well, I think it's going to be like years and years where it's a slow thing. It's not like we're going to wake up one day and all the beef is gone.
People are going to talk about cheeseburgers the way they talk about, like, flannel cakes. Like, they're like, I don't know what that even
pate
is.
Pate.
Yeah.
No, I think it's going to be a slow thing. We're going to see more and more fast food places, like, easing out, you know, like shoving the beef to the side and pushing the other stuff.
You can still get flannel cakes at Musso and Frank's.
You can. They're delicious.
Los Angeles, though, as seen in Once Upon a Time in Hollywood.
Indeed. God, how crowded must it have been in the last couple months?
You don't even want to know.
Oh, I can't even imagine.
Yeah.
Anyway.
However, sometime this fall, I would like to go back to Musso and Frank's.
Sure.
For another Carol meal.
Oh, totally, yes. I know you love their cream spinach.
Chicken a la King creamed spinach.
Yes, agreed. No, I think it's going to... It is not going to be a thing where we wake up one day and there's no beef. It's going to be this slow thing where it becomes really expensive, yeah, and it becomes harder to track down, and then suddenly it just becomes like the thing that only a-holes on their yachts get to eat.
Right. Right.
And so, as with Years and Years, the recent BBC HBO series, it will be a thing where we just keep acclimating to the whatever the new normal is.
Try this. It's made from algae.
Exactly.
How does she say it on the show? How does she pronounce it? Algae? Algae? Algae?
I forget.
I didn't know that was a different... I didn't know that word was pronounced differently.
Yes.
Over there. Or maybe it's just that character.
Who knows?
Yeah.
So yeah, I'll adjust the way we all adjust.
Not only have we not eaten the Impossible Burger from the Whopper, the Impossible Whopper yet.
Yes.
But we have not eaten the Popeyes sandwich yet.
No. That's like around November, I'm thinking.
Here's
it will have slowed down
you,
enough.
I'll tell you the reasons. I will wait in line to vote.
Yes.
I did wait in line.
I was going to say, for opening day of milk.
Opening day of milk bar. But that's it. I'm not waiting in line at Popeyes in the Valley.
Or on Hollywood Boulevard.
For a sandwich. Oh, there's no way I'm waiting in line for Hollywood Boulevard. Sun beats down on
yeah.
you.
Yeah. No, we
you
did not.
An umbrella.
They opened a Shake Shack very close to our house in West Hollywood. And for the first couple of months, lines down the block.
Yeah. For Shake Shack.
Yeah.
Like,
and
who
then,
gives a
And then
rat
eventually,
ass?
Once the line ended, we were like, oh, there's no line anymore. We should go to Shake Shack.
Right.
And we went, and it was
It's fine.
Fine.
It's fine.
But, yeah, I, It's not like this is a limited time promotion. This is a new thing they are adding to the menu.
Forever.
Yeah.
It's forever.
So later. I'll happily have one later.
I'm seeing pictures on the internet of Popeye's locations that have signs on the door.
Yeah.
That say, we're out of sandwiches for the day.
Yeah.
We're out.
Yeah.
We don't have any more. Go away. Or come in and get some nuggets and some biscuits. And,
yeah.
You know.
Get a spicy three-piece and a side of mac and cheese. Like I know. Somebody on Twitter was like, well, they didn't have any sandwiches and I left. I was like, but you were out of Popeye's.
If you want some fried chicken, you're still at Popeye's.
Yes. You've landed on go. Get something else.
You could get the spicy fried chicken at Popeye's.
Yes.
That's essentially what you're going to eat, only with the
bones.
Yeah, bones in it. Right.
So I'm excited about one day having that. What I love about this is the scads of free promotion they've gotten. This is so not even an advertised thing.
Yeah.
And I also love that everybody is putting Chick-fil-A on blast, which they should. Because, look, I've said it before. I grew up...
I like a spicy chicken sandwich.
I grew up in the heart of Chick-fil-A. Like, yeah. The Truett Cathy's kids went to my high school.
Yep.
They would provide, Chick-fil-A sandwiches every year for like the spring whatever day. The first Chick-fil-A sandwich like location that was outside of the Dwarf House in Hapeville, where it was invented,
yep,
was at Greenbrier Mall, which was half a mile from my childhood home growing up.
Yes.
Like Chick-fil-A has always just been part of the wallpaper of my life.
Yes.
But they're despicable. They give money happily and proudly and loudly to like the worst hate groups possible.
Yeah, they're not even quiet about it, and they're turning it into their own kind of political football.
Yeah, so a Chick-fil-A bag is a MAGA hat. It is a thing now for awful conservatives to like demonstratively eat at Chick-fil-A.
Yeah, it's a thing that conservatives now happily
rub your face.
They display it.
Yes.
Yeah.
And yes, I'm sure there are individual Chick-fil-A managers who are very open-minded.
The one here on Sunset is like, don't. We're not them. We're not that.
Yeah.
We're not that.
And I'm but like, you know what? It's what I tell to my family who are all still Catholics. Like your parish may be super progressive and open-minded and liberal and all that stuff, but that money you put in the basket, a big chunk of it is going back to the Vatican and all the turds who talk about how the reason that there's molestation in the church is that it's all the gays' fault. So don't come to me with your individual nice Chick-fil-A manager, although that money is still going to the company, and the company is still giving that money to focus on the family. The end.
Alonzo.
Yes, Dave.
Do you know who else?
Who else what?
In-N-Out.
Now, I know they're Christian-y, but are they like...
My understanding of things I've been reading recently is that they're giving money to all the wrong people.
You know, here's the thing. I never eat at In-N-Out because it's not fast.
It takes so long.
Like
it takes such a long time.
If I'm going to have fast food, fast plays a big part of it. So every time
In-N-Out
I drive...
is slow.
Every time... It's part of the slow food movement. Every time I drive by an In-N-Out, like
that would be good right
now. The drive-through line is backed up, and I'm like, I don't have time for this.
You go in, and you're still going to wait 15 to 20 minutes for your
before
food.
You go out, yeah.
Yeah. No, before you eat.
Before you eat, right.
Yeah, you have to wait.
Even indoors. So, I couldn't tell you the last time I went to an In-N-Out just because it's not convenient.
We'll get to the chicken sandwich or Popeye's eventually.
Yes.
But probably November. We will report.
We promise to report, absolutely.
Obviously.
Yes.
Because I know that you guys won't rest until we've weighed in. Gray Drake.
Yes.
Ms. Movie Phone.
Yes.
She can't have gluten.
She cannot.
She came over this past weekend along with William Bibbiani. And
you'll hear them both on Linoleum Nights, which we'll post this week.
And his beautiful companion, Michelle Lopes.
His wife.
I like to think of him as Mr. Michelle Da Silva Lopes.
Fine.
Yeah.
Her husband.
Her husband, yeah. They wanted waffles.
Yes.
That meant going to buy some gluten-free flour.
Yes.
They did not have the cup for cup brand at
Ralph's.
At Ralph's, because it's a big mainstream supermarket. I was concerned they might not have any gluten-free flour there.
Oh.
But they did.
In this neighborhood, come on.
What they had was King Arthur makes a gluten-free.
Yeah. They make a gluten-free flour. They also make a gluten-free baking mix.
Yeah.
Like a Bisquick, essentially, for pancakes, waffles, and biscuits. You wanted the flour.
I wanted the flour. And I got it. I have made gluten-free pancakes before.
Yes.
Now, those are easier to navigate because you can peek under and see how it's going, right?
Right. And also, I think there is precedent for a crispy pancake.
Gluten-free waffles in the waffle maker.
Yes.
However, are a whole nother story.
You have to wait till they're done before you can look.
You have to wait for the thing to go beep before you can open it up.
Right. Your close-and-play waffle iron.
And you, yeah, and by the time it beeps, you might have a waffle that is, in your words, a pizzelle. A crispy waffle cone of a material. A crispy, crispy puck. A disc. A frisbee.
Did the gluten-free flour offer any instructions of changing a recipe?
You were just supposed to know. So here's the consistency. The ingredient list of this gluten-free flour was such. You know, it's got potato starch and rice flour and all this stuff in it. But cooks differently and faster in the waffle maker. Mm. So I kept turning down the heat and turning down the heat and turning down the heat. And it took me about 4 tries to get to a place where it was like a soft, fluffy waffle.
Right. But now you know.
But the first 3 or 4 were like, I'm cutting them open with a knife. Thinking, all right, well, hope y'all like a crispy one. And I said that, and you took a bite, and you go, let me see if I can approximate your tone. Crispy, you say.
No,
you're leaving it. How you said it.
You're leaving it out. I took my first bite. I was biting it, and it was very like crunch, crunch, crunch in my mouth. And so that's why I said, crispy, you say. But it was delicious. It still absorbed butter and sugar, which is all a waffle needs to do.
Butter and syrup. Yeah.
Butter and syrup. Yeah, sorry. Yeah. And later, Gray was saying that she'd never dunked a waffle in iced coffee before, and it was delicious.
Well, yeah, because it was hard as a.
It was a pizzelle.
It was a cardboard. It was a piece of cardboard that you could dunk in your coffee. She was just making lemonade from lemons. I live and learn.
Yes.
Next time I'll know to turn that waffle iron down to like 3.
There you go. And were the final ones like legit fluffy?
Yeah, they were pretty soft.
Oh, cool.
Yeah. Like the kind you would get at Roscoe's with your fried chicken on top.
Okay.
Yeah. And because I don't make Belgian waffles.
No.
Our waffle maker is not a Belgian waffle.
Yes,
maker.
No.
It's the old fashioned small dent.
Yeah. Flattish waffle.
Waffles. One at a time, one big circle at a time.
Mm-hmm.
Unless you're one of those people who thinks that one big circle has
equals 4
waffles on it. You're not right.
Mm.
That's not true.
Not in this house.
At all, no. If you are of a mind to be buying gluten-free flour, and you have never done it, understand that it costs money.
It does.
But I have a trick, because I'm always on the hunt for what's cheapest. Cup for cup is a lot of money. Cup for cup is the most expensive that I have found.
Right. And that also comes in various kinds, right?
It
like
does.
They do like a cake flour
it
even?
It does, yes. King Arthur, though, is still very good gluten-free flour.
Mm-hmm.
And if you order it online, it's cheaper. Now, don't get me wrong. Don't go to Amazon for this. Go directly to kingarthurflower.com. I think that's the website name.
Hang Google on. King Arthur Flower.
I'm
going to
pull
website.
It up right here. Wait, okay. No. Okay. King, it should be served. kingarthurflower.com. You can order any King Arthur product, and they make a lot of them.
Yes.
I didn't realize this, but they do. You can order any King Arthur product, and it's going to be generally cheaper than Amazon. I know people like to go to Amazon because they think, oh, it's going to be cheapest on Amazon or at Walmart.com or whatever.
Yeah.
But no.
Directly to the manufacturer.
Directly from KingArthurFlower.com. I ordered a bag of black cocoa this past week. I ran out of it because that's my new favorite kind of cocoa to bake with.
Mm.
Significantly cheaper than Amazon shipping. Cheaper. Like, even without the Prime shipping,
still cheaper. Wow, okay.
And it here's the trade-off. It takes longer to show up.
Right. But if you plan...
You got a plan in your head. You got a plan in your mind.
And by the way,
it'll show up when you need it.
The holidays are just around the corner.
Yes.
Every year...
Yes.
King Arthur Flower
makes
this magazine called Sift.
They are not sponsors of this show, by the way.
No.
We are not. They're not advertisers.
No. We just like them.
We just like them.
They make this magazine called Sift. And the first year I got it, I just bought it at a Barnes & Noble thinking it was like a baking magazine. And it wasn't until I looked at the fine print and like the sort of, you know, credits page. I was like, oh, no. This is just a thing that King Arthur creates and publishes every year. But it's beautifully photographed and a lot of really good recipes.
Yeah.
And they really... You know, if you are somebody who likes to do Christmas cookies, they always find a bunch of different kind of international varieties you might not have heard of before. You know, really good brownie recipes, also savory stuff. Like, they had a whole thing of a, like, you know, make your own dumplings at home. Like, that's never happening. But, you know, if you want to make that happen, they'll show you how to do it. Anyway, also a thing that King Arthur does, you might want to, if you are the kind of person who really gets their bake on at Christmas time, look for Sift.
That I do.
Look for Sift. Because and also, unlike a lot of other Christmas periodicals that pop up every year, they don't repeat recipes from year to year.
That's correct.
Like, if you pick up a Southern Living or a, you know...
Yeah, they're cheaters.
Some of those branded ones, they'll just do the same stuff year after year and slap a new cover on it, basically.
Yep.
Don't be fooled.
It's happened to me.
Yeah.
You had a question about the gluten-free flour. Will it work on the biscuits from the Moza at Home cookbook?
Yes.
I do not know the answer to that question. We're going to have to ask the cookbook author herself to find out the answer to that question.
But if you wanted to make a gluten-free biscuit...
I have a feeling...
It will not.
It might not work out exactly the way we want.
Sure.
Because gluten kind of matters sometimes.
Of course.
Yeah.
But if you want to make a straight-up gluten-free biscuit, they do make that biscuit mix.
Right. Who knows what it looks like or what its consistency.
On the box, it looks very big and fluffy. And the box would never lie.
That is correct. Boxes don't lie with photographs. That never happens.
Never. Is that our time this week? Oh, we have a letter.
Oh, we do have a letter.
We do.
Oh my God, and this letter.
It's a doozy.
It sure is. Let me pull it up. It's from Urso.
Yes.
We were talking about an issue, an episode ago, racist restaurants.
Yes, I didn't say the name of it.
You didn't say the name of it, but it's the name of the place that's...
named for the story about the kid who sits in the tree while the tigers turn into butter.
Yeah.
Google it if you need to.
He says, I wonder if Alonzo remembers the restaurant called Aunt Fanny's Cabin. People are shocked to hear that such a place existed when I describe it now. And he provides a link to a site called restaurantingthroughhistory.com.
Yeah, I was shocked because I grew up on the south side of Atlanta, and this place was in Smyrna, which is on the far other end of town.
Yeah, and you had never even
Heard of it.
All right.
I had seen there were other places that I knew about that had a sort of dodgy kind of antebellum nostalgia, but nothing to the extent of this place.
Took the cake.
Yeah.
Like, The photos, I followed the link, and the photos are staggering.
Yes.
It is... There's a shot, there's a picture of some guy, some well-known Georgia politician or whatever, at the restaurant being serenaded by three young black children.
Yes.
Who are dressed up in, like, slavery-era clothing.
Rags. Did you see what the song they're singing?
And the song they were singing is called Save Your Confederate Dollars for the South Shall Rise Again.
Yeah.
Unbelievable.
No.
But it was real, and it really happened, and
this place was open till like the 80s, I think. Is that what it said in the article?
Did it go all the way through to the
80s? I think so, yeah. Bananas.
It is shocking to our eyes now, and we feel it's unbelievable, but I really want people to remember this stuff, you know, because...
It wasn't all that long ago.
It's like a couple weeks ago when we were talking on Linoleum Knife about the movie Swing Time. And the extended blackface sequence that Fred Astaire does.
Yes.
And we were talking about how, you know, on TCM, quite often now, they will tell you, you know, here's this film and it's got this thing in it.
Right.
And a lot of people don't want that stuff to exist anymore. But I worry if you erase it, if people won't think that the past was as actually hideous as it was.
Yes.
Like, we have to remember this past.
Yeah.
We have to remember that it was a thing that was real.
We have to own the fact that in the early 1960s, it was just considered a thing that Mickey Rooney would put on buck teeth and glasses and play a Japanese guy in Breakfast at Tiffany's.
Yeah, with a crazy accent.
Yeah.
I think it's vital that we remember that...
It was not okay that happened, but it happened.
White people have been sort of... blissfully comfortable with everything that has transpired up until the very recent past.
Yeah, well, you saw that the thing that the people that complained because they went on a plantation tour and they actually talked about, like, what happens on a plantation and who did the work and how they were treated. And they were like, I didn't come here for that. I just wanted to see the azaleas.
Then why are you... Then go home and look at a book.
Exactly. Pictures. So it's like, it's that same level of historical erasure to pretend that in the 50s, 60s, 70s...
80s.
80s, to some extent, I guess, people went to this restaurant in Atlanta that was all, like, antebellum themed, and all these black employees were there and paid to pretend like, wasn't this a great time for everybody?
Right.
And, you know, Jimmy Carter used to eat there. I mean,
Did Jimmy Carter eat there?
Yes! Like, it was just a standard thing that was accepted, and so we can't pretend that wasn't...
It was unquestioned.
The norm, exactly.
Yeah. So anyway, go look at these photos if you dare. And,
Those who forget history are condemned to repeat it.
We, before we go, and
yes,
we are going to go. Update, again, for those of you who have not been listening to this show ever, perhaps, there was an ongoing personal story of a friend of ours.
Oh, yes.
Who was experiencing homelessness.
Yes.
And consequently, you know, food insecurity as well. And I said I was worried about the final chapter, but the current chapter, which we hope is the final chapter, is that this friend is now in a place.
Yes.
There is a roof over this friend's head.
Yes.
And there are some resources happening.
Yes.
And that's a great relief.
Yes.
To all of us who know this person. And I know some of you have been asking me, like, what happened to the friend? And I'm like, I'll let you know.
Yeah.
So that is
that's where we are, and hopefully that's where we'll stay, and this person will stay as well. So thank you for listening. If you like Linoleum Knife and Fork, maybe you should mosey over to patreon.com/linoleumknife and check out that show and the other shows that we offer up to our subscribers, and, you know, the cool things like shirts and enamel pins and mugs and Christmas ornaments and personalized podcasts and other treats and surprises.
Treats. Surprises. Roadhouse.
Exactly. Roadhouse. All right. Thanks for joining us. Until next time, eat them up, yum.